are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up, y'all? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode 4, Saturday, June the 13th. That's right, a special Saturday edition of Locked On Pistons. I don't know if that I've ever done a Saturday edition here in 3 years, almost three full seasons, 3 full years of doing this podcast. How about that? Special, special day. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Check out my work there. We appreciate the traffic, the clicks, all that good stuff. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Kind of a wild night, Friday night, of tweets from all the reporters of what's going on with the players, getting ready to come to terms with the fact that they're going to be heading in the bubble next month. Today we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And Dwayne Casey had his exit interview. I was sitting in on that call on Wednesday to wrap up the season that ended 3 months ago. Also going to hear about what Blake Griffin and Luke Kennard had to say. Two of the most important Pistons to the future of the team. They had exit interviews on Thursdays, but not guys that I expect to be with the team long term. I'll explain what the futures of those guys look like, and how it's interesting that those are the two that the franchise picked as far as having them on for exit interviews with the media. A little bit later on, we're going to jump into our time machine segment that we did earlier. I think it was this week, but we'll jump back to 1985 and what I thought was a huge draft, a historical draft for the NBA and for the Pistons, and also look at what a world that has several rounds. I think they had 6 rounds back then, the NBA draft. And we'll opine if maybe they should think about going back to that. You know, you got if you're going to be serious about the G League and if that matters and developing players and having more farm team baseball model going forward, maybe extend the draft a little bit. We saw that the Major League Baseball just had their draft this week. Tigers fans all excited about Torkelson. And really resounding universal praise for Al Avila and the job that his staff did this year. Obviously, we'll see how it all pans out. In my mind, that's a guy that's on thin ice and should be treated as so by Tigers fans. But anyway, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Do us a favor also and give a follow to the Play Michigan Twitter account. That's @Play_Michigan, I believe, is the handle for that. You can find it. So playmichigan.com. So this is the episode where, why am I doing a Saturday show? I guess is the question. This is the I Thought the Black Lives Matter show that we put out on Thursday, which you definitely should listen to. I very much enjoyed it. Counted as one of the 3 episodes that I had to do this week, but I found out I was wrong about that. So I'm scrambling to get one more done, fulfill my requirements here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll see if you guys listen over the weekend. We'll see how the traffic numbers go. Maybe this will be a thing. I don't know. I doubt it. But bear with me. And I apologize for not getting that third episode of original content up, or my own content up, earlier in the week. Hey, Monday, by the way, we got a fun roundtable that I did with Locked On Knicks and also Locked On Hawks, talking about the 4, 5, and 6 slot of the draft. You know, we do mock draft Monday, so that'll be the show on Monday, talking about that, about who they picked in our little delete eight mock draft episode, mock draft that we did. And we'll also talk about the players we considered. So kind of a wide-ranging discussion about the players who might be available after Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and Obi Toppin were gone in our exercise. So who's coming up after that? I got to tell you, we taped that already on Wednesday, but as I taped this on Saturday morning, I'm maybe losing a little bit of Onyeka Okongwu love. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit later. I guess he's still number one on my board, but I wanted to look at some of the other prospects a little bit more. Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman are two guys that I'm studying a little bit now, but need to do a little bit more studying before I start thinking about moving some guys around. And maybe I'm seeing the light on Okongwu a little bit, that he's just, you know, a solid player. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe the ceiling's not high enough for me to have him as high as I've had. But more on that later. But with the league, Friday night, my phone was blowing up while I was just relaxing here in downtown Detroit. Kyrie Irving is involved. There's kind of a leadership role of talking to the players. Sounds like most of the call was about the protest movement and things that the players should be doing and ways that they can be visible and use their platform and all that. So good constructive conversations there. But, of course, the bubble talk and how tough it's going to be and how much more reserved the players are about this, how they're not completely all in on just popping in the bubble for several weeks. I thought it was interesting that prominent names were Carmelo Anthony and Kyrie Irving. These are two guys on teams that basically have no chance of winning the title. You know, thinking about the Portlands and the Washingtons and the Brooklyns of the world. I know Kyrie Irving is probably not going to play, or certainly not going to play, from what I understand. But I don't know if he'll be in the bubble anyway. But do I want to be away from my family for several weeks so I can get in possibly a play-in tournament or get bounced in the first round? I mean, I think these guys have realistic expectations. One thing we know about the NBA is it's unlike the NHL and MLB in that the best team usually wins the championship. When you're talking about 4 out of 7 game series, it just kind of happens that way. You know, you can't get a hot goalie or a bounce of the puck and get your way into the Stanley Cup Finals. Basketball, you kind of know. I mean, it's the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers. Maybe if you want to throw in the second best East team, like there's a group of those Eastern Conference teams that could get to the finals. And if you get to the finals, maybe you got a chance. But I mean, those three teams that I mentioned, pretty good chance that one of those three teams are going to win the NBA championship this year. So I think that's kind of the reality that some of these teams and guys are facing. Again, I think this ultimately happens. A lot of people are talking about, I don't know if the bubble's going to happen. But I think the players are just kind of realizing what they're sacrificing and kind of posturing for more in negotiations. Making this stuff public helps their cause, their negotiating side. You know, we kind of need to express in the public some discourse about just how much this is going to suck for us so that it's going to help us out. Whether that's in CBA negotiations this offseason or, you know, and figuring out what to do with the cap next year, or, you know, just showing the public and showing the owners that we're giving up, you know, something valuable to us by giving up our lives in some ways for several weeks. Dwayne Casey had a Zoom call on Wednesday, his wrap-up interview, interested to do a season wrap-up interview with the media about 3 months after the season ended. But that's where we are in coronavirus world. I was there for it, filling in for the furloughed Rod Beard of the Detroit News. Really not all that interesting from Dwayne. He's had a couple of media sessions these last few weeks anyway, so all the questions that needed to get asked were already asked and answered by the coach. He said he's very much in favor of getting the teams together for some kind of mini camp, regional summer league, OTAs, whatever you want to call it, whatever it ends up being. Seems like that's something that's definitely on the horizon for the Pistons and the Elite Eight teams that are not around for the bubble. He talked about Sekou's maturity, which is something he's brought up several times in the past, one of those get the message out through the media, especially when you're not around the guys every day like you are during the season. So, you know, one of those tactics that a veteran coach uses. Speaking of tactics that a veteran coach uses, and it's always been kind of a strange one to me, Dwayne continues to talk about how Bruce Brown is not a point guard. He hammers that point home. And again, I think he could be. I'm not talking about putting Bruce Brown as your starting point guard next year and rolling with it, although it's not a terrible idea if you're going to be bad anyways. You might as well try stuff like that. But, again, I don't want to discourage coaches and sports figures and front office folks and people that are interviewed by the media, by professional teams. I like when they're honest. It's nice to hear that breath of fresh air, honesty. Dwayne says this so much that he certainly, well, that he maybe believes it, but I have kind of a little bit of a theory. It's a strange thing to be overly honest about. Why would you want to show your cards so much publicly about that? Not that that part's a huge deal, but why would we be making this determination already? This is a second round pick heading into his third season. I don't understand slapping that ceiling on him that this is a guy who certainly can't be a starting point guard in the league. I don't know how we've decided that or what good it does to make that decision at this point in time. Maybe the organization has decided that and thinks that they need to make serious moves this offseason about point guard, or maybe this is Dwayne saying what he's saying privately, publicly, in that he's jockeying, and maybe this is a Fred VanVleet situation where he's been telling Ed and been telling Greg Polinski, no, Bruce is not the answer at point. We need to look at my guy, Fred VanVleet. It just doesn't make sense to say that a lot publicly, unless he's doing the psychological thing, right, to Bruce Brown through the media, the prove me wrong thing. That's kind of one of the only things I can come up with. Dwayne also talked about the front office, something that's been very quiet, by the way, the GM search, maybe this week that gets ramped up a little bit. Where are the leaks? We need our leaks about the GM search. You can interpret that maybe however you want. But I just, and I wrote about this in the Detroit News in Thursday's edition. It's funny to talk about newspaper articles as if people actually read the print edition, but it's online. You can check it out at debtnews.com as well. But Dwayne, I mean, it sounds like he's taking more of a role in the front office. He's looking at the college tape. He's certainly someone who's committed to for at least one more season by the Pistons. He's talked about as a decision maker in Woj's ESPN.com article about the Pistons. When they hire a new GM, he'll work alongside Ed Stefanski and Dwayne Casey. That was part of the article that Woj had. So Dwayne's a guy who's not coaching this team anymore. He's the guy who's actually making decisions about the front office of this team as well. So this is Dwayne's team. This is obviously a big season for the, you know, when you bring in the new GM, you're kind of passing the buck a little bit here. Ed Stefanski's kind of dropping himself into the shadows and saying, you know, the GM is going to have his first season coming in, or whoever is new in the front office. So that's a thing where you can't really judge a guy after or a gal after his first season. So that puts Dwayne Casey more in the crosshairs, right? This is a big year for Dwayne, and obviously no one expects or no one even really wants to maximize the win-loss of this team and to fight for an eighth seed or something like that. But we need to see serious development. Sekou this year is going to be big for Dwayne Casey. Bruce Brown, Khyree Thomas, the list goes on and on. Christian Wood, if he's back, you know, Luke Kennard, if he's back. So it's Dwayne Casey's year, right? And I'm not saying he's on the hot seat or he gets fired if things don't go in a great direction, but it's really something to think about when you're thinking about the goals and the grades coming up next season. But speaking of next season, Luke Kennard and Blake Griffin, a couple of guys who are important to the future of the Pistons. The assets, big moving pieces over the next couple of summers, possibly. They talk to the media. We're going to talk about that coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about one of the most useful apps on my phone, one of the ultimate life hacks out there now. I'm still finding hard. I got the new job going. I'm doing the podcast. I'm trying to read as many books as I can the old school way. So it's just been tough to find the time. But what's been really helping out is Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. And it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. I like Blinkist because I'm listening to all the books that I don't really want to buy full price. And I'm getting the 4-Hour Workweek with Tim Ferriss. That's a book I want to read anyway. Get the blink of that. They're called blinks, the little blinkist versions of books. Becoming by Michelle Obama, Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict. These are great books out there on the Blinkist app that you can use and you can listen to or you can read in short order, saving you time, making you a more efficient person, like all those successful people out there that we all strive to be like. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. And you know I got to tell you guys all about Built Bar. I've been waiting for my shipment. That's kind of one of the problems, and I don't blame Built Bar for this, but all the shipments are backed up, so I've been without my Built Bars for about a week. Been hungry every morning, probably been not quite the worker that I need to be and not fulfilling my potential because I don't have my Built Bars every morning. Built Bars are tasty. It's a reason to get out of bed for me every morning. I know that I'm kind of a freak eating the chocolate in the morning, but I'm an indulger. What can I say? I just think it's a good thing. I'm not really like super massively hungry when I get up. I'm not a breakfast guy, but you eat the Built Bar, You're not hungry for, a little while. Maybe it's a pre-workout thing. It's just perfect for me in the morning. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Most importantly, other than the taste, Built Bars are healthy. Great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Perfect for me, perfect for you. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber, hitting all the macros that you need there. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 10% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
Right, a little bit later on, we are going to hop in the time machine, old bit there, and talk about the 1985 offseason for the Pistons and how it drove a lot for this team with the 85 draft, in particular, number 18 pick, what the Pistons do in 1985. But Blake Griffin and Luke Kennard talked to the media on Thursday in Zoom calls, exit interviews. A couple of interesting choices by the franchise. Obviously, a couple of well-spoken guys, good faces of the franchise, so to speak. And, you know, guys that are veterans now. Luke Kennard is three seasons in, and for this team, that counts as a veteran. He's the longest-tenured Piston right now. But Blake Griffin had probably the most retweetable quote. Quote, if I'm on the Detroit Pistons, I'm doing everything I can to help them. End quote. You know, it's one of those quotes, right, that looks a certain way on Twitter. And I know a lot of you guys are reacting to it. And I'll say again, it's overreacting. It's a little bit of awkward phrasing by Blake, but he's continuing to say the right thing. He means it. He's going to do everything he can to help the Detroit Pistons. And it doesn't sound like a trade demand, or it doesn't sound like he's trying to play games through the media. But underlying that quote notwithstanding, I really do wonder about his patience with this team. And again, this isn't necessarily Blake Griffin's decision. Because Blake Griffin's career has gone the way it has the past 12 months is why we are at where we're at with a lot of ways in this franchise and with this player. Is he enjoying spending most of his last really good years here? And I know he's not really good right now, obviously, because of the injuries. But the potentially really good years that he could be having in his career, is he enjoying spending them with a franchise that has no chance of winning anything meaningful here in this next year, 2-3 years probably? He's also smart enough to know that he's a cap albatross right now, and he can't get traded unless he gets healthy and shows he can produce on the court next year. So I think you get a motivated Blake Griffin this year. He's professional, so most definitely he'll do whatever he can to get right. Says the knee's okay, says he's cleared. Hasn't gone 100% yet, but long ways to go until December. Luke Kennard didn't really say anything all that interesting. The longest tenured Piston, like I said, going into year 4 of his career. That's kind of a scary thought that he's the longest tenured Piston. He says he's 100% healthy going on with off-season workouts. Again, and he said it, he's another guy who probably has to prove his health for a long season. He would be a restricted free agent next summer if the Pistons don't extend him this summer, which I really don't expect unless they can get him for a nice little discount. And a guy that could get traded, and I think the health is going to be one of the main reasons why he probably doesn't get traded, but I do think the Pistons should look into it. I think just a culture shift, guys that have been around in this muck for 3, going on to 4 years, is not necessarily a good thing. We can kind of see that he's not really a Dwayne Casey guy. We've seen a little bit of the public dust-ups jerking around with some of the minutes at times in the 2 years that these guys have been together. Just doesn't seem like a great fit, especially when there's, reset the 3-and-D clock on some of the position guys that, Luke Kennard, if you're going to extend him, you're committing to him being a huge part of this rebuild in this franchise. And it's just, he's just not a player and just not really the type of, I just don't see him as a building block. I think the guy that you give the first extension to, the first real commitment to as far as real money out of this group going forward, has to be someone that you're really thinking is part of the 2 or 3 guys that are going to help this team go forward. Luke, as far as like being, what is he on a very good team? What's his ceiling on a championship level team? It's not one of the 2 or 3 guys. It's one of the 4th, 5th, or 6th guys on that team. So I just don't see him being that first guy you give $70 million to out of this group. That's just my thoughts. But let's talk about the summer of 1985 here in a second. The Pistons lost the second round to the Boston Celtics. How did they move forward from that after the 84-85 season? What did they do with the 18th pick of the draft? And what future slam dunk champion did they draft in the fourth round of the seven-round 1985 draft? That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team, every day. But hey, got to tell you guys all about rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. I mentioned RockAuto.com to my parents that for several years own an auto part wholesalers in Ferndale. They rolled their eyes. I got to be honest. They're not big fans because they know that the prices you can get on rockauto.com are one of those places that might put those brick and mortar shops out of business. But rockauto.com is a family business itself. They're serving auto part customers online for 20 years now. Go to rockauto.com. Skip the in-person stuff. Don't have to put the mask on. Just get on your computer. Go to rockauto.com. Shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Support those who support us. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Pistons sweep the New Jersey Nets in the 1985 playoffs in the first round in three games. That's Buck Williams. That's Michael Ray Richardson. That's Mike Jaminski. Move past those guys and get the Boston Celtics in the second round. Lose that series in six games in 1985. So Pistons obviously on the rise a little bit here. Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah Thomas steering the ship a little bit. But 1985, really one of the best drafts of all time. This is the year after the Michael Jordan draft from 84. So that's MJ, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Charles Barkley. Hard to argue against that draft. But 85, I mean, we're talking about the lottery mishap with the New York Knicks. And then just a run of big guys, some of them stiffs too, right? This is just emblematic of how much centers meant to the NBA back then. So after Ewing, you got Wayman Tisdale. I know he's not a center, but another big guy. So Ewing, Wayman Tisdale, Benoit Benjamin, Xavier McDaniel, another non-center, but another big guy. John Konkak, Joe Klein. All those guys were 2-6 ahead of 7-8-9, which was Chris Mullin, Detlef Schrempf, Charles Oakley. So, and again, those are forwards as well, but Chris Mullin, Detlef Schrempf, Charles Oakley, obviously better players. Number 13, Karl Malone. So there's some talent. There's a lot of talent out there. Really not a lot of guards at all picked early on. So the Pistons needing kind of a mate, backcourt mate with Isaiah Thomas, were lucky enough to have a gentleman by the name of Joe Dumars slipped to them at 18 in this draft, picked right after the greats like the San Antonio Spurs picking Al Frederick Hughes at 14, the Denver Nuggets taking Blair Rasmussen, the Dallas Mavericks at 16 taking Bill Wennington, and the Dallas Mavericks at 17 taking Uwe Blob. Not a great pick there, right ahead of Joe freaking Dumars at 18. We talk a lot about Trader Jack, right? And that was the main ways that these Pistons were constructed. But the drafts from 85 and 86 will go down as nearly as important to what the Pistons were able to pull off. This was the same offseason that Trader Jack brought in Rick Mahorn from the Washington Bullets. Other names from the 85 draft, by the way, 24 players picked in the first round. Throw Sam Vincent of Michigan State in there as well. But the last two picks of the first round, A.C. Green of the L.A. Lakers, and then Terry Porter of the Portland Trailblazers goes 24, so a couple of great picks at 23 and 24 there. Manute Bol in the second round as well. Ty Corbin for the San Antonio Spurs. Hot Rod Williams, Gerald Wilkins, second-round guys as well. Also interesting, back then, 7 rounds of the NBA draft. Excessive, no doubt. But I kind of mentioned at the top of the show, I'd like to see the NBA go to 3 rounds, especially if we're going to get serious about the G League here. I don't know how the Players Association would feel about that. Seems like for the incoming guys, maybe having that freedom to sign with whoever you want to if you aren't drafting the second round could be a good thing. But maybe this could open up some opportunities. Maybe the third round guys are guaranteed decent, second tier contracts in the G League or something like that. Maybe there's a way to make it enticing for the players as well. Third round picks were Sam Mitchell and Michael Adams were kind of the bigger names. But, you know, kind of emblematic. Some fourth round guys had some run in the NBA. Arvydas Sabonis for Atlanta Hawks ended up being stashed for a long time before coming over to Portland. But I'm just looking at the fifth round. At the basketball reference page, you know, they got the career stats on there for the drafts. Not a single fifth round guy drafted played in the NBA. So that tells you all you need to know about that. Not even Mike Lamb, drafted out of Murray State by the Pistons at 110. Same for the sixth round. One guy played 3 years, 99 games in the NBA in the sixth round. So that kind of tells you all you need to know. Although Mario Elie was the 160th pick, third to last pick of the seventh round. So, again, no world needs to exist where 7 rounds of players get picked. But I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a third round added to the NBA draft. Something to think about. The Pistons ended up taking Spud Webb at number 87 that year. So that's right. Spud Webb was drafted by the Detroit Pistons, and he ended up playing as a rookie that season with the Atlanta Hawks. So it wasn't like he was someone who was this huge project that took years to make it onto his NBA debut or with the NBA courts. The Pistons drafted him in the fourth round and was waived in training camp on September 24th, but the Pistons couldn't make the team. Hawks picked him up and ended up having his career with Atlanta and became, like I said, a rookie that was impactful, and impactful in ways that the Pistons would later come to regret, because that year they ended up losing to the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. So the guy they picked in the fourth round ended up playing some playoff games against the Detroit Pistons, averaged 12 points a game as a rookie that season, beating the Detroit Pistons in the first round. So the Pistons draft Joe Dumars, and then in 86, lose in the first round, kind of go backwards as an organization until a great 1986 draft. Trader Jack comes through the year later, number 11, and one of those drafts that's going to kind of remember by the Len Bias tragedy, Chris Washburn, William Bedford, Roy Tarpley, guys that we know had troubled NBA careers. Not the case for the Pistons, who at 11 took John Sally, who was a cornerstone of this team. And in the second round, number 27, Dennis Rodman, the Worm. So Sally and Rodman joined the team in 86. And I guess, you know, the rest is history in some ways with this team in this franchise. But that'll do it for this episode of Locked On Pistons. Appreciate you guys sticking with us here on the weekend. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. This is your host, Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons, saying talk to you guys on Monday.